go. Say we're recording. All right,
here we are.
All right, gentlemen, welcome to the third installment of Digital Llama Radio, starring four idiots.
Yes, and it's new and improved. It's coming from my very own mobile home.
Welcome to White Trash USA. I can only say that because I too live in a mobile home
community.
Yes. Not a trailer park, but a mobile home community.
Yes. To carry out the introductions, my name is Christopher Hanel, and I am out of under the thumb of my oppression, a.k.a. parents. I am out. I am free.
Yeah,
I am paying rent.
Ladies, pay he's the
mom,
puberty.
Mom, send money. And my compatriots with me today. First of all, starting to my right, Mr. Abraham Paterka.
Yeah, hello.
And Mr. Justin Whitlock.
Hi.
And Mr. Stephen Phelan.
Hi.
And Stephen Phelan.
Hi, Stephen Phelan. Hi, Stephen Phelan.
I'm Justin Whitlock.
I think Gail.
Don't worry. It's all done out of love, people. I love Justin. He's a great
kill
guy.
You later.
Retribution for being gone on last week's show. But he's back, and we brought
last week's show, dude. It's been like the last show at all.
Stop
it's been like
reminding
a month,
me.
Dude.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
We've had so much trouble. We apologize to all of our people who have been nice and listening to us and writing good comments. That we have been so busy, and we've messed up so many times.
Yeah, we've actually done this show a few times, and it's turned into a raunchy, just chaotic show.
Steve,
that's just
like
horrible.
Ixnay on the raunch cake.
I believe it would be called like an aborted bantha fetus or something like that.
Ouch,
dude.
Oh.
Well, we'd like to, before we begin the show today, we'd like to take a moment and thank everyone on the forums.
The forums,
yes.
Who responded. All of our people and friends and family that we were worried about in the recent tragedy made it home safe.
Yes.
We were very, very lucky. Thank you for all your support. Part of the show today does go out to everyone who didn't make it back, and to all of the people who were left behind to deal with that. So.
As one of the people that were not actually there, we were very lucky in that all of us that we were waiting for it came out A-OK. Nathan Butler's, who you all know from Prelude to Hope, he was very worried about his girlfriend's mom. She's back okay. I had a next-door neighbor who actually moved out to the World Trade Center to take a job. He is okay because he got on the wrong subway.
Jeez, oh Pete.
He got on one that was 5 minutes later, and he showed up right after the first one. He was there at the time, but the fact that he got on the later subway.
And of course, there's Brandon Hamus, of course, a good friend of ours.
Yeah, he's probably going to be called into duty pretty soon.
Yeah, he's in the military. His uncle actually works at the Pentagon and was there the day that it happened. But
he's okay?
He is okay.
Okay.
You know, it's so odd because I couldn't think of anybody that I would have even possibly known that was there, but I got done talking to one of my distributors that sells me my role-playing games. Her mother was in the building the day it happened. She got out okay.
And then Abe, your wife, Becca, had a cousin.
A cousin who's a pilot for United Airlines.
So nobody is untouched by this event at all.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody is touched.
And that pretty much goes, I mean, anyone I talk to has someone they know. I mean, it's the whole 6 degrees of separation. Everyone, with as many people that were involved in what happened, we all knew somebody that was involved in this. And if you were as lucky as we were in the sense that everyone you know at least came out surviving, then you know you came out very, very fortunate. But to those people who did lose people,
it was interesting to watch. When I saw it live, as I was watching, they were interviewing people the next day, and this one thing stuck out in my mind, and I just to comprehend what the man was thinking. They were interviewing this guy who was wearing like a red, white, and blue bandana. You probably would have saw him on the news, but they were talking to him for a while, and they said, well, you know, what brought you down here besides tragedy? He says, well, I was late for work. And he worked in the trade towers, like on the top floor.
He was just
looking at the camera. He said, I was late. And I just imagine what he's probably thinking right now. Probably thinking any god he worships, whatever he does. I mean, he's probably thinking them all right now.
Oh, yeah.
That he was late for work.
Well, you know, we just want to say we don't, you know, we have several things we want to deal with today on the show. But I just want to say it. I think it is just an absolute tribute to our country that we as a people, I mean, it's been amazing how we have pulled together over this. What's happened? You know, the intention behind this was to scare us, was to throw us into chaos, was to break us, and it did exactly the opposite.
Yeah. No one thought about America as, you know, the kind of people that would go, you know, oh. That's it.
We're going to give over our entire country.
No one thought that they were going to be like, excuse me, you just bombed America. we're pissed off. You know,
that's exactly what my wife said. You don't break us, you piss us off.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think it's just it really says something about us that we're able to band together.
And we're here.
So that
for
makes
you
me
know,
very
I,
proud.
I would like to say on a final note on that is that I felt pretty good hearing all these other countries that support terrorism and support and you know harbor the people that bring terrorism to our country that they were basically scared out of their skull when they saw what happened.
Right.
I mean, they were all, oh, we condemn this action. Oh, this can't happen. Oh, my God. It's basically thinking, oh, my God, America's going to destroy us. And, you know, in all effects, that could possibly well happen. And you know,
well, that's not, I mean, that's not for us to decide.
Sure.
We're going to do
now
what we
now into
do
the
best.
Realm of Star Wars.
Yes. Well, what we know.
First, our topic for today would be the Musketeer, I believe.
The yes. Musketeer.
Abe and I on the Abe and Chris movie review.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. Well, we went and saw The Musketeer. It's a new movie that's come out. What's the company that produced it?
I don't know.
I can't even remember. It's
Jerry
called Bruckheimer The Musketeer.
Films? I don't know.
We have mixed feelings about this film. I know that on the forums, there's been a lot of people tearing this movie apart. And I have to say that I enjoyed the movie.
Yes,
not
and
only
I agree.
From just a moviegoer point of view, so I'm going to hit the choreographer point of view first. I was with the movie right up until the end with the ladder fights, which when you see the movie, you'll know what I mean. Choreography-wise, the film was quite intense. It had a lot of fun. I was slightly disappointed to see a few scenes where they sped up the action. I didn't think it was necessary, but, you know, hey, I'm not directing.
You know, I'd like to remind the audience when Abe talks here that Abe has studied rapier, so he is somewhat of an expert in this particular movie action field. So please listen to this man. He's taught me. He's taught several people. So we're going to take what you say for...
So the rapier fights were a lot of fun. They were very fast-paced. Probably the best fight in the movie, in my opinion, was the very first fight between D'Artagnan and, like, the five or six other, you know, bad guy extras that came in the bar, and they fought in there. That was a great fight. It was just very enjoyable fight-wise. I just couldn't deal with the fight scene at the end where they were fighting on the seesawing ladders.
And you can't even see the death blow.
See the death blow, but I think for me, it's not so much that it wasn't cool. You know, and I'm not trying to knock in any way, you know, the choreographer. I have obviously given his background.
Well, he did The Matrix and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, so.
But the thing is that the end, the style of the fighting is, especially in the end scene, is very much the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
It's kung fu, It's a
anime-style kung fu.
Over-the-top.
Genre fighting, which is fine in a kung fu or anime style such as Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where we expect people to be able to balance on tree branches and go, yeah, duh,
right
of
now
course.
You're pretty much hitting the Renaissance
late 1600s, early 1700s France, in rapier fighting, it's just, you cannot fight on seesawing ladders and leap from ladder to ladder. You know, a
not
couple
to mention,
minutes
balance
of
yourself between ceiling. Never mind.
You know, if it had been a couple, maybe a minute of them leaping on a couple ladders, make a couple swings, and they jump down into a really awesome, you know, on the ground, just pounding the crap out of each other with the rapiers fighting, that would have been great. But I'm watching the ladders, and I'm like, okay, you've lost me. It was really cool up until that point, and then I'm like,
the point where it lost me, actually, was the ropes. When D'Artagnan is climbing up the side of the building a rope.
Oh, and the
you've
fight
got,
scene on
there's
the...
four or five guys at the top of where the rope is. Now, they had the option at any time to cut that rope and cut their losses. But instead, no, I'm going to get a rope and swing on down there.
Well, you know, what we did discover, because in the movie, unlike in the book, D'Artagnan's parents are killed in front of him by Rochefort, by the bad guy. And we realized that because...
Well, he doesn't even have that name
in
the movie.
Yeah, no, he does. They just always call him by his first name. They mention him by Rochefort like once in the film. Mm-hmm. But we realize that when D'Artagnan uses the grappling hook at the end of the film, Justin has to take a pause and go on the phone.
Just relax, it's okay.
But D'Artagnan uses a grappling hook to scale the building, and we realize that when your parents are killed in front of you, you are allowed, and in fact, it's a requirement to be able to get a grappling hook.
Batman?
Batman. Because, you know, I mean, your parents are killed in front of you, you've got to have a grappling hook. That's right. Just the
and
way
and I think that D'Artagnan, once he killed this villain, he's now entitled to a utility belt of
yes,
some kind.
Yes, get a utility belt and some kind of cool scalloped cape.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've pointed out the things that we didn't like about it. Now, here's what I did enjoy, and what I still think makes this movie worthwhile. Even though, yes, there are parts of it in the fights that I, you know, that I felt just didn't work in the genre, things like that. The movie is still fun and worth it to see, and here's why. Any movie, and this is why I think even people should buy the movie, because any movie that you can have points where you go, damn, that was sweet.
Yeah.
You know, like in some of the fight scenes and some of the cool stunts that they do, where you have a movie where you have those sweet moments, but when the very next scene, you can MST3K the movie and be just making so much fun of what's happening on the screen.
Right, I'm sold.
That is a great movie.
Yeah.
It's, you know, is it Matrix? No. Is it Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? No.
And it's definitely not what they intended.
You had everybody in that theater had a great time because they got to make fun of the movie and they got to just be blown away at the same time. And that doesn't often happen in a movie. Usually, it's either you're totally making fun of it or you're just completely in awe of it. And I think it was great to have that same thing.
And to sum up, I think one thing that sets this apart from the movie, I think they set a record for witty retorts per minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means it's just, it's back and forth. There's no statements. It's just all comebacks.
So would you say we should see the movie then?
Yes, we're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'd say see the movie.
Absolutely.
And the
maybe the 450 matinee. You know,
yeah, I would,
or rent.
Rent it.
But definitely see the movie.
Cool. We also would like, this is Justin here, we'd like to move on to one we reviewed today. It was called
Art of the Saber.
Art of the Sabers. I would like to say right away, okay, it's not really like a movie, but it was still fantastic to watch someone take their ability to fight and choreograph a lightsaber fight. I mean, we've all been talking about how, oh, lightsaber fights, everybody does a fan film because they want to have a lightsaber fight because they want to see themselves fight with lightsabers. This was really well done. And it was really neat to see fantastic choreographers and fighters who obviously have had training do a fight scene.
I don't know much about the Force.net. Did you say it wasn't necessarily on, like, the fan film part of
the... Yeah, there are different categories on the Force.net, and they have short films and music videos. This one was under the effects projects.
Why don't we take a look at some of the comments that people have made on the
We had a lot of people that actually were, I don't want to say mad, but very puzzled by the fact that this movie was hosted, and someone said that
I think it was because some people didn't get on or they got rejected.
Yeah, it's here. Here's one comment right here. I will reserve judgment until I see the whole thing, but I just think that TFN's acceptance of this may be a slap in the face of some who got rejected.
So this was like a test, really.
Yeah, it was this. They say right in the beginning, it's a proof of concept. Here's one right here. Your choreography was really very good, but I guess my only problem with it is that being hosted on TFN, I don't get me wrong, I don't mean to belittle your test. You obviously worked very hard on it. You have the martial arts skill to pull it off, but it's a test. Choreography of a similar caliber can be seen in several other films on the site, which, personally, I disagree with.
Which, as choreographer, it's currently, there is nothing on the site
like
that,
this
alone. That comes up to this level of choreography.
There's a question of faith. I mean, but that's a different style. This is
question
the only one.
Question of faith is done in a broadsword style, broadsword and staff. This is done in a very martial arts style staff, mostly for the Sith warrior, and kind of a mixture of kendo and rapier style for the one. But there's nothing.
And you can even tell the Sith warrior had extensive staff fighting, as I've been just learning recently using the staff as the Sith person in our movie. Is I mean you can tell that he's really confident he's using a staff and a lightsaber because he touches himself with the lightsaber several times, briefly as it moves around his body. But it's so cool you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, plot lines, pulls that saber 2 inches away from his body, right there.
It's way awesome.
Here's another one. Every time we think we have a clear picture of your submission guidelines, being TFN, you go and pull something like this, and we're left wondering, message by Tumblemoster. And I think all of us here at Digital Llama Radio disagree. We like this film. It adds something to
the
fan
test.
Film genre.
Call it a test.
Yeah,
I
mean, as a test. And there's no...
It is.
The fact that it is a test...
As a test, it's incredibly worthy. I mean, I saw it, and when I saw it, I was blown away.
I mean,
I was like, man, this kind of I can't wait to do our Matrix scene, because now that we've seen this, we got to kind of go back to the drawing board,
and
I suppose.
Oh, we're going
to
suck.
There's a move. There is a single move.
The block.
The block. The block.
The Jedi warrior, and I'm gonna skip this. I believe it was Calvin. Calvin Ho.
I got the paper right here. Calvin was the Sith. It was Carrie or
Gary?
Carrie Ho. Carrie Ho, the Jedi warrior, at one point is going to get blocked behind him. Instead of putting it over his head like the traditional way,
he spins.
Spins the blade, holds it inverted, and spins it behind his back and blocks one, then spins it back into his hand.
Split second.
It is way cool. I mean, it was so funny.
They don't even pull focus to it.
Yeah, we were watching it, and you're like, oh, guys, here comes the part where he does the block behind his head. I'm like, dude, he's done it twice.
Yeah, he's already done it twice.
So he's like, no, you got to watch this. Boom, he does it. He does that
we're
incredible
all like,
block.
Whoa!
Yeah, we were like yelling right then and there. It was so cool. And,
I mean, I've never cheered at a fan film.
Never,
you know, I was
never.
Like, woohoo!
The splits up in the air with the block, the
nice.
Kicks up in the air,
see,
the
it's
fast
rude
pace.
To attack someone's unit.
It's very cool. Now we still do have critical comments. Of course, I mean, they even say there's lighting differences. It's in a backyard.
And anybody who will sacrifice a minute and a half of their film or their test to tell you, look, this is what's wrong. This is exactly what you're going to complain about is the lighting, the consistency, uh-huh. the fact that when he gets kicked in the face, the next shot is him walking around fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I guess for me.
Yeah.
I was sorry that they had to put the minute and a half in front. I guess for me, I'm not that critical of things like lighting and you know, that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Of course.
You got to remember, I don't know about everybody here, but I come from an extremely poor family.
Yeah.
And not everybody has thousands of dollars to go and spend on wonderful editing equipment and beautiful computer systems. Sometimes
half of our luxury is the fact that I work at
a
commercial group.
Sometimes people just want to do a really cool sword fight and
this,
get people to see it.
This was still entertaining,
you know.
What some people might call shortcomings, it took nothing away from the experience of us watching it.
I mean,
we don't bash films. I mean, we may give we review films as a service and kind of a fun thing for us to do and for you people to see how maybe more people see the films. But they don't.
I think
we
really
don't
just to hear ourselves talk.
Well,
yeah, that's
and that too. But we don't take the opportunity to bash a film, even if the film sucked a wad, which we've seen. We've seen some that have sucked a wad, and we don't want to say, "Hey, look, your film blew." Okay,
because they
did it for was to have fun. They didn't do it to gain our respect. They did it because they wanted to say, hey, look at us fight with lightsabers. Look at us do this really cool story.
Yeah.
And salute to them.
And it
drops.
From a choreography standpoint,
excellent.
Fabulous fighting.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Back into the aspect.
Now, there is an interesting thing for those of you out there who are going to do fan films, and also for the host, great job. But from the acting point of view, here's where you can see, if you want to see a perfect example of coming to one level and stepping above to make it even better. The choreography is amazing. It's excellent fight choreography. But what you can see is the Jedi warrior is a Carrie.
Yeah,
no.
Carrie.
Was it? Yeah.
Carrie registers no emotion throughout the entire fight scene. Every time he's fighting, his facial expressions don't change. We don't see in his body that he is either defending or attacking or things like that. Now,
Calvin,
the
Sith warrior.
The Sith warrior was into it.
Yeah, he's into it.
And it's not. Does it make the fight itself, the technical fight, any less worthy? No.
No.
It's just one step higher when you put the intention in there. You know, could this Sith guy really kill me? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could I take him out? Absolutely. Just to have that one further step level of acting in there, just it's amazing how much it increases the fight.
And you know, and I'm sure we'll get several comments to say, well, maybe he is so calm and one with the Force that he doesn't need to project emotion, which is fine.
But the one thing that I've come to realize is that it's easier for an audience. Sure, even if that were the truth, if you were trying to show that he were at peace with the Force and there was nothing dark that was going to get to him. Audiences love to see people work.
Drama.
Stress.
They love the stress. They love the drama. They love all of that. It's kind of interesting. I mean, going back
to
not
even...
How much
am I willing to hurt him? Or how much, you know, am I willing to survive?
Well, Chris was pretty willing to hurt me last night.
Hey. We'll get to that.
But, I mean, it's not just in the fan film genre or any film genre. It's like even in music. I don't know if any of people know this right now, but actually when I was doing my first year and a half of college, I was a music major.
See how long that lasted?
Yeah, it was a year for me too, buddy.
You played
3 months. 3 months right here, baby.
Nice try, baby. Anyways, I'm still taking lessons from my vocal professor, and I mean, he is like the vocal Yoda that I have. I cannot believe this guy. This man,
sing up an octave, you must.
He's a bass, and he can do baritone, almost tenor stuff because he has unlocked the key to how to actually sing, and do it to the point where you're
groin
not working.
Kicks. Groin
I mean,
kicks.
You're not working. It's all just no effort whatsoever. But the thing is.
I was adding to it. I'm sorry. I apologize.
The thing about it was that, I mean, he would audition for different parts, and he would be able to hit things like, you know, hit certain notes with absolutely no effort whatsoever. But then they'd go with some guy who was, you know, tensing his body up, using his throat wrong and stuff like that. And although he'd get to that note, I mean, even though it was more of a struggle for him, they would cast him before they would cast my professor.
Because it looks like
because
he's trying.
Because it looks like he's working. He's working really hard at it.
Yeah.
And in a character, and probably he's going to be playing a character on stage that's going to need to look, that's going to, it's under conflict, which is all what drama's about.
So brings us the Ho Brothers, to the Ho Brothers, great film.
Yeah.
Didn't detract from it anyway. When you do your next film,
we're going to be there.
Push up that one little thing, and we will be there behind you the entire way.
Add the drama. It'll be fantastic.
It rocked. Yeah. And congratulations to you. And we loved the end credits because we had a great time.
Cool.
directed by the Hoes. Produced by the Hoes. Special effects by the Hoes. Music by John Williams.
Speaking of the credits, we would also like to agree with the whole family and say that we would like to thank George Lucas for creating the Star Wars universe and John Williams and the other guy. For grammatical error, a period is necessary instead of a comma. We thought George Lucas has created everything in the film. So.
George Lucas created John Williams specifically for
ladies
his movie.
And gentlemen, this is for those English snobs out there, like I happen to be, this is your humor. Is, everybody else is going to be like,
what the heck are they talking about?
These guys are idiots. It's just English humor. If you don't worry about it.
Okay. Okay,
people like me who flunked comp
awesome.
Just pay no attention.
Okay, moving on. Our filming experience is
last night.
Yeah!
Last night was great.
It was awesome. You guys, I suggest everybody doing a fan film needs to do a nightmarish scene where everything goes wrong.
Now, I've got to caution my friends. We can't tell the jokes we're using in this because we had
good
time.
So they all stood in the parking lot. And you mean we can't tell them about that right now?
No.
Why
wait,
not?
We filmed
our movie.
What about the man-eating Jedi robes?
So hungry.
Guys. I can't get out of my robe. I can't put it back on.
Oh, last night we had the first blooper that was actually a real blooper.
As opposed to a, hey guys, this would be really funny.
And
if
this
we made
is
it look
this
like we
isn't
did
in
this.
The movie, so we can kind of talk about this. But
no, it will be in the movie.
It's going to be in the movie.
How can I talk about it? It's so good.
Yeah,
I have.
Go ahead.
We've got these. Our saber props were somewhat disfigured last night. We were missing pieces of our sabers. One of our poles.
It was 10 o'clock at night.
One of the poles in the jack. The jack was gone out of one of the poles because Chris broke one of his light poles, and the screw that holds the pole in was missing from the other saber. So we had
that was Abe's fault.
As we're doing our scenes and we're moving our blades back and forth, I got the wrong blade. I had the one that screwed down.
And I had the one
with
that
the jack.
Stuck
I put the one that I was supposed to screw down in, or I didn't realize it, and I didn't tighten it. And I'm doing the scene where I'm supposed to look really stupid, flipping my saber.
Yeah,
on
he's
coolest,
flinging it
and
around.
And I whip it to the right, and the blade shoots out about 40 yards towards my car.
It hits his car, which we're using for lighting. We got his headlights on.
And I'm just standing there, and I look at my saber, and I'm like, oh, that was bad. And Steve's looking at the camera, and he's like, we gotta keep that. Let's go to the movie.
Let's go again.
So we edited that in. That was fun.
Oh.
I guess there really isn't a blooper. It's an edit.
And we're filming the last part. The battery is just dying.
Yeah,
this is
hilarious. I'm like, I'm basically, I had gotten everything together, but I had forgotten that we hadn't
Steve
done production forever. And here we are. I realized I'm like, the whole two-hour battery. Battery is gone, you know. And then I'm on like the half-hour battery, and that one's at like, you know, 10 minutes from the beginning that we do it.
Okay, run, cut, quick, go ahead.
It's like it was so funny. I'm like, all right, guys, it says change battery pack. We gotta go. This
go.
Cut now. Okay,
go.
Ready?
No.
Action now. Go.
I'm not ready. I don't care. Go.
But it was great because, I mean, luckily we were doing the nightmare scene. And the one thing I got to say for anyone who's like, you know, any director, any technical person on a film, if there's a nightmare scene where everything goes to shambles, then it is so easy to shoot. Film. It's just,
it fits.
You know, ready? Action. Cut. Was that okay? Oh, it's perfect.
And then I called Steve last night. Steve, I'm fine. Oh, yeah, this, I can suck and it's okay.
I can suck and it's okay.
And then the very last thing was just sums up the whole thing. Me and Justin are filming our scene.
Yeah, we
and
have
Abe.
And I'm standing in the background.
In the background. Go ahead.
His I'm arms crossed. How you doing?
And there's Steve filming, and they're doing their little fake fight. And I'm just kind of standing there, hands in my
pocket. I'm in the background. Is that okay? And Steve's like, yeah, it's fine.
That's okay.
I look up. I'm like, Steve, you know I'm in the shot, right? And I hear this, yeah, it's okay. I'm like, all right. So I may actually be in the nightmare scene in my Dr. Evil t-shirt hanging out in the parking lot.
And I'd like to say to my supporting actor, Chris, and all of you actors out there who don't know the meaning of pull your punches.
Oh, man.
We're supposed to hit each other's sabers and say, ouch, really stupid and cheesy like someone who doesn't know what they're doing would do. Chris doesn't know what he's doing, so he actually hits me with the saber. And he thinks I'm acting because I'm going, ow, ow, and I'm actually saying, ow, ow, quit it. I finally grab the blade out of the saber and I run away. It's funny and it
now,
works, but it hurts.
I just want to point out to those of you at home who may not have either seen the trailer or know what we look like, Justin is about 6'2", 200 and...
He's the one that gets out of the car.
48.
Okay, 250 pounds.
48.
Big, strapping... Broad-shouldered man.
That's a phrase by
Chris. Is what are you?
135, 6'1".
Okay, he's so 6'1", 98 pounds. Soaking
think of Mahatma
wet.
Gandhi on stilts, people.
Yeah. think like take Jay from Jay and Silent Bob, shrink him down to about a waist.
Put him
size
on the Hollywood
13,
diet,
and you've got Chris. Justin is complaining that Chris was hurting
but
him.
But he was hitting me
with the saber. Oh!
And Chris is like, you're acting well. Smack, ow, smack, quit it, ow, yeah. Stop that.
Being the director, I'm encouraged. I'm like, that's really good. Again, ow, yeah, keep doing that.
So I don't even remember if I hit Chris back, but I wanted to really bad.
Yeah, because we got done with the mud scene. You're like, all right, that's it. We're doing another take. I want to do Chris is like, no.
You're going to kick me in the nuts.
As he's kicked every... Well, he already kicked me. Just Steve's
the
only one left.
I'm the one who's pending.
The one who hasn't been kicked in the balls.
Steve's like, but I got the cameras.
Every time I have to get together with you guys, I'm like, is this going to be the day?
So, shall I be just for those of you in the business, this is what we call method acting.
Okay.
I think we've covered that subject enough. I think it's on to our last little piece for the day.
Yeah.
So, our last piece, we just want to end... Usually we try and end the show on a high note, or, you know, like I said, we try to.
Yeah.
We would like to today spend the last, I think it's 2 minutes of the show. We'd like to play a song for you, something that means a lot to us. We'd like to play it for everybody out there who lost someone. We'd like to play it for those people who moved on in their journey to wherever they go. No matter what you believe, no matter what name you call, whatever it is beyond there. We'd like you all to just take a moment and remember those who were left behind, remember those who passed on, and just bless them. Thank you.
This is Justin.
I'm Chris.
I'm Abe.
Steve Phelan.
This is Digital Audio Radio, tweeting out.
Stay safe.
Good night.
Love you.